As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Wednesday, July the 20th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news that we've got plenty of today. Hard facts. We're going to really go to the facts today and workable solutions for you. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're most certainly not alone, but you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion. Or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area. Let me call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free. As always, at 866-841-1065, your calls will certainly be welcome today. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. That's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening to any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96. Exeter Mo, big Mo to me, 65647. Big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 16, and TalkStream Live, all carrying this broadcast this morning, and thank you for doing so. Our call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Precious metals pounded on debt ceiling, profit-taking, oil up, U.S. dollar index down. We'll talk about that briefly in our market report. A very special guest today, Ilya Zlobin, online with me now, world-renowned numismatic specialist. We're going to be talking about his website, trustedcoins.com. Ancient coins, everything you ever wanted to know about coins, we got the guy to talk about it today. Hope you'll call in and ask the questions that need to be asked. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Found gold being hammered off another $7.20 this morning at $1,581.60, and there's nothing sad about that. $1,581.60, a good price on the gold. Silver this morning off 58 cents. Equally getting a thrashing at $38.43 an ounce. Platinum off $5 at $1,761 a troy ounce. Palladium shows flat for me at $786. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,580.20 for a low, $1,593.90 for a high. But at $1,581.60, take heart, little flock. Your gold is still up $388.60 year to year for a 32.57% return on your investment in Aurum, that precious noble metal. The SPDR gold shares overnight, they dropped 3.33 metric tons, claimed this morning to hold 1,246.01 metric tons in their electronic treasure chest, valued on State Street at $64.1 billion. Yesterday, on the Bury the Usurpers agreement, I guess you would say, of talking with Congress as regards to debt ceiling, the stock market did really well. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 202, closing out at 12,587. The NASDAQ likewise up 61, closed out at 2827. The S&P 500 up 21 at 1327 this morning. Crude oil up $1.25 at $98.75 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. And the U.S. dollar index down 32 basis points at 74.83. We'll be right back after these brief commercial messages and be joined by Ilya Zlobin. Good broadcast coming up today, folks.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we are back. Welcome back to our Wednesday, July the 20th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, gold was taking a hammering earlier this morning off $7.20 an ounce at $1,581.60. Silver down likewise off 58 cents after its rather low closing yesterday at $38.43 this morning. Platinum off $5 at $7.61 and palladium flat at $786. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, last week as well, today we're joined by Ilya Zlobin. You might jump up on the web, folks, www.trustedcoins.com, trustedcoins.com, certified ancient coins. You'll see a scroller up there that shows a bunch of these old things. My goodness, what are they? Do they have any value? Do they don't? Do you know anything about them? Do you? I mean, really, do you understand numismatics? Well, that's what we've asked Ilya to come on and explain to us. You know, these, in my opinion, are basically opinion coins, all right? How on earth would you figure out how much these things are worth? Well, it's certainly not going to be something that your local barber is going to help you with. Good morning, Ilya. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. You know, this is one of the things that I really like. There are those in the coin business, I guess you could say, that are speculators. They're watching just like now the gold going up and going down, you know. And then there's people that are involved in it for an investment standpoint where they want to protect their wealth and get rid of some of the risk, you know, and balance things out. So they add a little gold and silver, maybe some gold and silver shares into their portfolio. But this is a whole other side of this aspect. This is really getting down to collectibles, and I want to find out from you just a little bit about, first of all, how you got interested in this originally. Maybe you could give us some background as to how you got to be considered a specialist. And then let's just go into it. We've got a full hour to discuss it. I want to find out more about these ancient coins, and I hope you'll be able to lead us through the right way.
Well, it's an interesting story. Many years ago, I purchased an uncleaned lot. I cleaned off a coin, and I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. Then I got into researching the coin, and I started meeting the right people, and got into the field. They needed some help with the computers, and I was able to learn about some of the stuff and got to meet some of the dealers, and I was able to get started from there. Since I had a lot of skills with making websites, photo editing and website design, things like that, I had practical skills in presenting these ancient coins in a new light. I take pride in providing professionalism in all the coins that I do. So how I became an expert is by actually working with ancient coins, numerous thousands of them. I'm up to numbers 21,000 something in the item numbers of the coins that I have. Like, for example, in the scroller, the Justin Gold coin, I'm up to 21,807. So that's the amount of ancient coins and antiquities and various things that I personally looked at and, you know, I have listed in my store and have sold, or it's still in my store, and guarantee authentic for a lifetime. I am so confident in my coins that that I provide this lifetime guarantee and provide as much of information as I can based on my very well educated opinion, based on doing actual work with the ancient coins. In a certificate of authenticity form with a beautiful color photograph of the coin that you see in the listing and a brief description that you also see in the listing of the history of the coin. So that adds extra value to the coins. Most other sellers on eBay, they try to imitate me, but, you know, imitation is the best form of flattery sometimes. But I provide, you know, higher quality service, and I intend to have customers returning to me for a lifetime. And that is what keeps me honest and keeps me working with my customers. And the way I like to deal with people is to give them positive energy, because I like positive energy in return. That's kind of like the biblical law. Some people could call it karma or whatnot. That's what I try to do. So...
Let me just jump in and let's go back to the beginning again now, because we covered a lot of ground there. The very first thing you did, you found some coins, or you came across some coins, you acquired some coins, or things that look like coins, and you had to go through a process of cleaning them. Now, from time to time, everybody's, you know, maybe on the watches TV or subscribes to the National Geographic or something like that. They'll hear about somebody that found some sunken galleon and they brought up and there was all this encrusted coin and things like that. And wow, man, what a find. You find a treasure chest with all these doubloons and pieces of eight. So somebody finds something like that, let's say, or they're doing an archaeological dig and they come up with a bunch of stuff. Obviously, the things that they find are going to get parceled out to the specialists that really know how to take a good, clean look at this. So this is the point of beginning. So, you know, for the people out there that might have gotten one of these mailers or something, you know, or a lap card fell out of a magazine or out of a newspaper in their laps, and they say, oh, we've got these Roman coins or we've got these old Byzantine coins, and you can buy, you know, 60 of them in a bag for $1.95 or something like that, you know. How do you start right there? First of all, you've got to clean these coins, or someone did, and then in the process of cleaning it, does it add value to it? Does it take the value away from it? Are they more valuable in an unmanipulated format? Let's start with that. Let's start with the absolute discovery.
Absolute discovery. What I recommend is buying high-quality coins online already, because the work is already done in cleaning them. Nice, good-condition coins that were well-preserved, they don't need much cleaning. Maybe some brushing off the dirt. So some of these coins come very encrusted with dirt on them, and wind up getting cleaned down to the bare bronze. collectors especially value the beautiful patina that comes only with age. It comes in many different colors. It could be blue, green, black, brown, and especially nice glossy patina. So you are right. When the coin is as its original form, is the best way. So it's not recommended, if you have a coin with a nice patina, to clean it off and shine it down to look like a penny.
Right.
But some coins, when you buy them already cleaned, they already don't have the patina, and it may be a preference to some people because you may be able to see the details more. Some people might see the underlying metal, and they see it as more valuable. So it becomes mostly preference in the end for beginner collectors. But for more advanced collectors of bronze type coins, you like the patina. With silver coins, they a lot of times originally come dark, very, very dark. You could possibly clean them off with non-mechanical methods, maybe put them in a little bit of lemon juice, squeezed out of a lemon, rubbing off some of the dirt on top of them, because you don't want to scratch the surface.
Exactly.
So cleaning-wise, I recommend just buying good quality coins. Searching through these uncleaned lots, you have to have come to one understanding that gold coins, they don't oxidize. So they would be very easy to pick out of a lot if there's a hoard style.
All right, Lowell, let's just hold it right there. We'll come right back after the break. Folks, your calls are welcome. 866-841-1065.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At hempusa.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, MicroPlant Powder. Our MicroPlant Powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. MicroPlant Powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
And once again, we're visiting this morning with Ilya Zlobin, a sponsor of the network, TrustedCoins.com, certified ancient coins, talking a little bit about this idea of numismatics. What is it? What does it mean to us? How can we profit? How can we lose in it? Etc. But the antiquity, the great antiquity that we're looking at here, we're going back to the beginning of basically using coins, struck coins, as a medium of exchange, Ilya. And I find that it's interesting to me when I first came across your website, I noticed it had been added to the Oracle Broadcasting Network's homepage. And I went in and I was looking at it. And some of these coins, it's almost like doing a picture book or a picture story. Not only do you see the gods and the goddesses and the various things they believe, you know, but you can also see pictures of images of the leaders, the tyrants, the emperors, and so on in these coins. And so there's something, you know, unique about them that, you know, you just don't get in a Federal Reserve note. So maybe we got to go back and talk about, you know, Western Asia, Asia Minor, even early in China. How old, you know, is coinage? When does the story begin? And, you know, what can you tell us about that?
Well, people for thousands of years used different various things for trades. Before coins, you had proto-money. You had things such as that the Celts used was called ring money. It was rings of different metals and different sizes to trade between each other. But real struck coinage traces its roots back to around 650, 600 BC in ancient Lydia. There they started issuing the first coins, and then since then, those coins from 600 to 500 BC are especially rare. So from the beginning of the ancient coinage to about 480 to 450 BC, you have what's called an archaic period. Those coins are not as well as developed in styles, but they have their own artistic beauty to them. By about 450 BC, you have wonderful Hellenistic portraiture and iconography developing on the coinage with artistic beauty that matches the time period that it was born in, of ancient classical Greek city-states and the tyrants of the time. You had eventually in 336 BC, Alexander the Great come around. I'm sure everyone has heard of him, since there's so many movies and books written about him. And then it progresses from then on. And obviously the Romans were later influenced by the Greek culture and Greek coinage in order to issue their own coins later on. Because, you know, Rome was a newcomer in the Age of Civilizations, if you think about it.
So if we start, with the very ancient ones and then start moving forward, but let's just look at this 700 BC period. What about supply and demand? What about population? How many of these coins are out there? How many have been unearthed, if you could say so, in private collections or in? They're not necessarily in circulation, but they are in the hands of collectors. What are we talking about? Are there bazillions of these things, or
I would say countless millions, because these people needed to do trade with these coins and whatever things that they had. Yeah. And to meet demands, you would have even Celtic tribes imitating Greek coins with their own Celticized versions of the ancient Greek coins. So you have a plethora of ancient cultures colliding together and putting their ancient gods and goddesses on the coins. So I would say countless millions, because ancient coins have been collected. Then they were antique coins. An example being Augustus, the first Roman emperor, he actually collected antique coins and foreign coins. And can you imagine the kind of gifts that he was able to give his friends of these kinds of coins out of his collection?
Well, they used to, I believe they gave them as Saturnalia gifts, didn't they?
Yeah, there was a lot of different, you know, gifts that were given. There may have been tokens especially made for Saturnalia. Mm-hmm. There was even tokens used for brothels in ancient Rome depicting a man and a woman copulating.
Right.
It's a very interesting series also to explore. One book that I may recommend that covers the various different coins in their histories would be Eric II, E-R-I-C-2. It's one of the books listed as a link on the website. So that kind of gives you histories and, you know, actual color photographs and some of the prices realized on auctions, on eBay, and on actual, you know, hammer auctions that, you know, that these coins would go on.
How did they come up with this idea of electrum and bronze and gold and silver as being metals of choice, besides the ease of work and the malleability of gold and ease of work with silver? Bronze is not so easy. That would have to be cast, would it not? But how do you, have you found anything that came up with how they selected gold and silver as these mediums of exchange value?
Gold, silver, and bronze, they were obviously metals of the earth, and gold, you know, was used for, you know, a lot of useful things, and it was always shiny, and people always want luxury goods. So it could be recognized internationally as a medium of exchange just based on its intrinsic value. So when the rulers came around and they minted it, they made trade much easier. And bronze currency is also valuable because it is kind of like the additional fiat currency in order for you to be able to even get the gold eventually. So you would not really be able to have the bronze work as effectively if it was not eventually be able to be traded, or a gold or silver coin be exchanged for getting, you know, bronze change. Example being the American silver dollar back in the day was exchanged for 100 bronze pennies.
Right.
So that added to the multitude of the coinage available and allowed for more trade to be available, because you are not limited, you're not monopolized onto just one metal.
Well, how did copper come into the mix too? When did that first come on the scene?
Well, copper was used for making weapons. I have, for example, a sword from about 700 BC, Aluristan, that's ancient northern Iran type area. It's made of bronze. So it's always been used for the making of tools, for making of weapons, for possibly even making of jewelry, because they also made bronze rings out of things. So bronze was also a valuable metal because it also came from the earth, and anything coming from the earth obviously takes work to get it out of the earth. So whether it's slave labor or not, it still took work to produce that good.
Exactly, and that was where I was hoping we could go, is that it's very difficult to extract, and if you look at from either gold or silver, unless you're, you know, fortunate to be in some place like South America or in California or in Alaska or some places where, you know, you can find gold nuggets just in the streams in a great extent, places where you can find veins of silver that are easily worked. Today, of course, it's getting more difficult, but they're in a way a measure of just how difficult they are to extract, how much time and trouble it takes to refine them out into a state of purity, and then how much people value them based upon their scarcity as a metal themselves. Is that a pretty fair assumption?
Yeah, you would say even bronze coins in later times during Byzantine eras were actually clipped to use the bronze for other things. So you could see a little, you know, a side surface that you could tell it was cut off of the ancient Byzantine bronze coin. So even bronze was very valuable during Byzantine times. And during the fall of the Roman Empire, bronze was very, very scarce. They wound up melting down statues in order to issue the crudest of coins possible.
All right, we'll hold it right there. We'll come back after the break. Folks, your calls are welcome. 866-841-1065.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network. NCC is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, we've returned with Ilya Zlob, and his website is www.trustedcoins.com. www.trustedcoins.com. Ilya is a sponsor on the network. Very interesting information you can find on his website. He does list books that he has in his possession and has read, I assume. But one of the things I wanted to ask Ilya is this. You know, we always talk about, you know, the hook-nosed Jews, so to speak. But in my research, I found that in not only their art, but in their statuary and things like that, this could be traced back perhaps to the Hittite people. Do you know of any coins that the Hittites themselves produced? Any kind of, a medium of exchange that they might have put into the pipeline at their time?
Not that I'm aware of as of now. I obviously may not know of those coins, but not something I have come across recently or in the past.
Well, they're right up in the Caucasus Mountains and in that region, the northern portions of Turkey and whatnot, the Hittite civilization, and they moved up and down the Mediterranean coast there, just like many people did, the Phoenicians, etc. And they lived down in, and you can find them even referred to in the Bible. That they lived down in amongst people. Now, another question I wanted to ask is this. In regard to, like, we've heard about the King's Highway from Egypt back all the way up and around into the Greeks and over to Rome and so on, there is a place called Petra, and I don't know whether you've ever looked at it or not, but if you do, Mr. Capt, C-A-P-T, wrote a book on it, Petra, by that title, And it looks to me, and has always looked to me, as though it were a central bank for merchants in trade. They had carved out of the sandstone walls of this very narrow canyon vaults, basically, windowless vaults, and they had steps leading up to them, and each of the various vaults has a different facade carved in, sculpted into the face, the sandstone faces, as if they were like, you know, the front of a building. You know, here's Goldman Sachs, here's J.P. Morgan, you know, here's the Roman businesses, and here's the Egyptians. And I think that they would be able to very easily use it as a central bank, a place to exchange foreign exchange and trade, an interesting place. You could only get in and out of it on foot. There was it was the eye of the needle. You go into this place, and you would have to unpack your camels, your beasts of burden, and the camels would have to come in on their knees if they allowed them in at all, and a man would have to walk in. So it would be very defensible, but it's an interesting place. I don't know whether you've ever come across it in your research, but when we go back and we look at the beginnings of the use of coin, I think from the earliest times we understood the value of a medium of exchange and a monetary medium of exchange when we get involved in the precious metals and even in some of the more base metals, just makes a whole lot of sense. To me, this is, you know, not only the past, but this is still the future. Would you agree with that? I mean, is there something about these this idea of actually having something physical as a medium of exchange that just seems to resonate with the people? Or is this just a device that is used for control?
It could be used for control, or it could be used to free people. The interesting thing is it could be used to free people, as in the ancient Greek city-states. They issued their own coinage, and they remained even semi-autonomous, even when the Romans came and conquered them and just demanded taxes from them, but let them keep their coinage and culture. Some of them, you know, were possibly forced to put the portraiture of the emperor on their coins, but the reverse of the coins would still portray the deities that they worshipped and some of the structures of the cities that they had in their city. That's a very interesting thing too, because coins were also used as a propaganda piece. They don't have newspapers, so a place would possibly issue a token celebrating Olympic style games, as an example, or Macedonia would issue coins in honor of Alexander the Great in Roman times, featuring the portrait of Alexander the Great and saying that it's the Macedonian koinon. So, it's a dual-edged sword, obviously. It could free people, it could be used as a medium of control. For the Romans, it was a medium of control at some point in time when they eliminated the local Greek coinages of the cities and standardized the coinage by around the time of Constantine and a little bit before that to only have Latin inscriptions and only Roman gods and goddesses. So that decreased the variety of the coins and stopped those mints from operating. But
so another possibility, if I could infer it from what you're saying, then, is you could, for instance, the Romans can take Carthage, grab up all of their coinage, melt it down, and recoin it with the coin of the Romans, and basically just transfer, you know, by that action alone, demonstrate that Carthage is now under Roman control. They no longer have access to their own coinage. So what would be, now just jumping into a different tactic, jumping forward a little bit, what would be the upper limit of what you would consider to be these ancient coins? Are we talking about 1,000, 1,100 A.D.? What would be an upper limit? When do we start getting into what would we consider modern coinage?
I would say probably past around 1600s, 1700s, because for a long time, these coins were practically made manually. Each one had to have a planchet. Later on, they had processes developed that kind of industrialized the production of coinage. So,
and some of them were huge. Some of them, the original pound was a pound, wasn't it? I mean, it was big.
I can't tell you specifically because I haven't studied English coinage as much. But
well, no, that was a Roman coin. And let's see, 335 BC. There were various subdivisions of standard pieces or A's, which is here represented.
Aes gravis, yeah. Aes gravis, these big pieces, yeah. I held one in my hand. Those things could go from anywhere from around 20,000 to good ones, probably 50,000, 100,000, depending on who is going to pay how much. The rarer the coin is and the more desirable it is, the more it's going to wind up fetching a higher price than a more numerous coin that is more available on the market.
And it was from those large pieces originally, and they were unfinished on
those
the back.
Were,
the back.
Yeah, those were originally cast.
Yeah, big lumps, you know, and then they would just strike in, or they would use a screw driven press to impress a design in them. But they were so big and probably so expensive, just like today with gold running about $1,600 an ounce. They decided that they would divide it up, and they had quarters, they had halves and quarters, and eighths, and then eventually even tenths came into play. You know, the decimal system, that's another thing. I mean, we have pieces of eight, but, you know, eight is an unusual division. It doesn't reflect the decimal system at all. But some of this is tracked in the history of coins as well. So now I wanted to get into another aspect of this because, you know, if people go to your website and they see these prices, and I've done it, and I've looked at the price, and I go, my gosh, you know, you're looking at a silver coin here. The silver content, the melt value is tiny, let's say, by comparison to the collectible value of it. If we were to just accept the idea that, as many of the coin brokers say, these are opinion pieces, how on earth would one be able to, number one, use them, and or B, how would one know that they were getting a fair price when they bought it, or where on earth would you sell one if you needed to free up some capital?
Probably the best place to sell them is eBay, where I found that you have access to collectors worldwide. You know, you don't go to a... You're probably not a good idea to go to the flea market because people just won't understand the ancient coin there. But if you present it on eBay and possibly with my certificate saying, oh, I bought this coin originally from him, it's obviously each certificate is unique in its own because it has its own picture of its own coin and with its history. So that really is what also sells the coin, the history behind it. If you, the whole idea in business, if you try to get rid of something, you're not going to be able to sell it. But if you add value and if you actually enjoy it and if you actually see its value, then you will be able to fetch a higher value for it.
Exactly. Yeah. I do much the same. I go to the auctions, the estate auctions and the farm sales around. And for quite a while, I've been collecting blacksmithing tools, period blacksmithing tools that are... just as old as this country itself. And so if I can say that I acquired such and such of a hammer or a chisel or something like that or an anvil from some so-and-so farmer who has a well-known family name in the area, and then you put that piece up in a flea market or for auction again, you can draw quite a bit. You know, you would think, well, a hammer, you know, would be worth $4 or $5, but a hammer that was handmade and hung with a hickory handle in a blacksmith shop at the turn is $17.55 can bring a healthy price. So, yeah, I agree. I think eBay is a great tool. Folks, we'll be right back. Your calls are welcome. Don't be shy.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait.
There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny-smashing, cutting-edge talk radio.
And so most of our listeners are well aware, you know, that the Morgan dollar has come under basically the hand of the Chinese. They're flooding the marketplaces apparently with knockoff Morgan dollars. With these various coins, how would one be able to discern beyond your certificate? How would one be able to discern whether or not they're actually holding something that is genuine, authentic, or whether they're looking at something that perhaps is a reproduction. Somebody goes into photographs that are available of all of these. I certainly have very good quality, high resolution, black and whites and drawings from the encyclopedias here in front of me. But how would one know or have any certainty that these coins actually were of the period? And is there any way to test for their age and the metals content? Is that how you would determine their weight, perhaps, or something? How does that work, Ilya?
Well, each coin was uniquely minted. Each coin had a heated up planchet, which was put between two dies, the obverse and the reverse, and then struck.
Yes.
So each coin has its own centering. Each unique features of the edges. It could have a crack here. It could be different.
Five in a row should be five different.
Yeah. Even if it's of the same emperor, the style could be different. It could be of a different mint and as such.
Just visually different. You put five down on a counter and you look at all five of them and there should be no two alike.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Their shape, their outside, the thickness perhaps, because they were either done by a screw or done by hammer with the planchets. And the dies, every single one of these that you would handle would be a little bit or quite a bit different on the outside the edge of wherever they had struck it. So that would be one indication. That's a good one. How about the metal content? Any way to tell what is the metal content on these?
The metal content varied depending on the age and depending on the ruler. At point in time, for example, during the war with Hannibal, the Romans debased their currency to 50% silver, and they issued a Victoriatus. So essentially, if you want to know the metal content, you're going to need to get some of these books. And they actually did studies over the ages of the ancient coins, and in these books you will find a lot of the answers that you're actually seeking. So my recommendation would be, if you want to tell a real coin from a fake coin, a good easy-to-read treatise is Classical Deception by Wayne G. Sales. He made the Ancient Coin Collecting series. In it, you're going to find out that once you know ancient coin collecting, that you're going to be able to tell what has the style, what has the unique characteristics of an ancient coin, and what is a modern, a forgery, or a duplicate that that you'd be able to pretty much spot on the spot. Also, you have to go by feel sometimes when if you don't know the person. But most of the time, it's best to make a personal relationship with all the dealers that you do. I'm not the only dealer out there, but you know, when I do go to coin shows, I know a lot of other dealers there, and they're very good people. And I enjoy talking to them about numismatics and such. And these guys would, God forbid, knowingly sell anything not authentic.
Right.
So,
well, let me just jump right in. And I think that you're absolutely right. You have to establish a relationship with someone and understand that they, you know, they're number one, folks. They're in business to make a profit. I don't know anybody that's in business there to make a loss. And so they're going to need to have it. There's going to be a premium, no doubt. There's a commission on the sale of the coin to them or to you. And then there's going to probably be some kind of a premium, that a buyback. So they'll have to make money on both ends of the transaction. I think that's pretty much universal in the coin business. Now, here's another question, because we're running out of time, Neely, and I do want to cover this. You know, everybody talks about, you know, that the world is around, and we've been going around and around. The Phoenicians have been all over the planet, and, you know, talks about Atlantis and everything else. In the southern hemisphere of this continent, in South America, have there been any finds of these really ancient coins that you know of that have been brought to light and published about that might add to the people's knowledge of prior civilizations in the southern hemisphere or not?
I am not aware of those coins, but you know, there's obviously a lot of things possible. There's a lot of things unexplored or hidden away from us, the only things I could talk about are the things that are actually published in books, and there was enough quantity of them to verify that they're real and verify between each other how other ones look like it. So that would be a good also test for things, to see how other ones look like and how other ones weigh. And by metal content, a lot of times when they do make a forgery, it's not the right weight. The Greeks... for example, Alexander the Great coins, they would be about 17 grams. The tetradrachm would be like the ancient dollar. And the drachm would be the ancient quarter dollar.
Yes.
So it would break down to about 16 to 17 grams for the tetradrachm and 4 and change, or a little bit less than 4 grams for the silver coin of Alexander. However, there were cultures like the Celts, they imitated the coins of the ancient Greeks, so their coins may be less metal weight than those, but, you know, they're unique in their own value, because these guys imitated the culture of the Greeks in order to be able to trade with them and trade between each other, because that is the coinage that people knew. Alexander the Great type coins, the standard that he set up, it circulated for hundreds of years. After he even passed away, his types were still issued in a lot of different mints. In honor of him, they featured Hercules on the back. It would have Zeus. So, yes, by weight, specifically in silver, you could tell, you know, its authenticity, too.
Okay, so now today, you know, we've had a pretty strong pullback in the metals, you know, and so this is one of the things that we have. We have to deal with this manipulated market. Are the prices that these coins will fetch, you know, at auction or among collectors, has that been relatively stable over the period, or are they impacted at all by changes in the spot prices?
To be honest, I think they're going up faster than the other metals. I can't tell you 100% in every field, but I see these things going up all over the place. So, you would have to do your own research, honestly.
Okay, well, let me then ask another question. Good answer. Let me ask another question then in regards to Asia. You know, we get Mediterranean, specific too often, I think. And the Chinese, you know, have had a civilization longer continuously than any other. They, too, coined their own coins, produced their own coins. Do you ever get involved with any of the ancient antiquities of China, their coinage?
I have some of their ancient cash coins from, 2,000 years ago. They're little circle coins with a square hole in the center, and it has Chinese letters on the left and to the right of the hole. The reverses aren't always, have various different types of kind of Chinese lithography. So, I have a few Chinese coins. And to be honest, Chinese coins at auctions, they're fetching a lot of money. Like, I guess the more rare, more expensive ones, things that, were maybe only, $50, $100 back in the day, they've been going up a lot of times in auctions of these big auction houses. Maybe these people have a lot more money to play with. Maybe, they have Goldman Sachs backing. I don't know. But,
you see some of the craziest stuff, somebody's, jockstrap gets auctioned off and, their favorite bat and ball, and it's unbelievable. One last one now, in regards, we talked a little just briefly about China. How about India? India is one of the big gold and silver buyers. They probably have per capita more gold and silver, in their possession than anybody else on the planet. How about India? Did they have any series of coins that you're aware of? And if they do, what kind of antiquity do they have?
They have the Greeks went into India too. Alexander the Great went into India, and in some of his coins, he's featured wearing an elephant's tusk headdress. So, yes, it's called the Indo-Bactrian Kingdom, and later it changed to hands into other different Indian kingdoms, later becoming more having localized deities. But they've had Hellenistic influence on their coinage.
Okay, well, I want to thank you very much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule, Ilya, come and join us this morning on Become Vocal Local, sharing with us a little bit of your understanding of numismatic coins, folks. The website is www.trustedcoins.com. Ilya Slobin, thank you very much for coming to us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet.
15-speed represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, July the 20th, 2011, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. If you missed it, you heard one of my rare interviews. I don't do a lot of guest appearances, but we do have a new sponsor on the network, and I wanted to bring him on. I had some specific questions. I hope you enjoyed my questions. You know, if you had questions, it would have been a good time to call in. But nevertheless, you know, there's a lot to this idea of numismatics and numismatic coins. It's not only a bit of history. It's a science. There's a lot to it. You know, it's all going to be opinion. It's going to be based upon whoever, you know, as I've said, the real price and value of anything. It's the highest price that a purchaser is willing to pay and the lowest price that a seller is willing to accept. And, you know, these sorts of things can be fraught with graft, greed, corruption, and all kinds of scams. And so you want to just proceed with great caution. But as Ilya mentioned, there is a certain stability inside of these coins, whether you're getting graded, MS 61, 62, 65, whatever, 70 graded coins, U.S. coins, or whether you're buying coins of more modern time. Once you start walking away from the spot prices, you know, you're going to have to put your thinking cap on. There's a great book out there, the Red Book. You can get it and study it for more modern coins. But of course, you know, you're going to need to establish some kind of a relationship with a broker that you're familiar with. Maybe even get out to some of the auctions and take a look. But, it does sponsor the network, so I thought, well, why not? Let's take a shot. And I've enjoyed the conversation. I've had two conversations with him, one private and one on air. And in both cases, I found him to be very open and cordial in his responses. And so not a lot of concealment going on. It sounds like he's on the level, and because he does want to establish the right relationship and maintain a positive attitude all the time. Somebody to check out anyway. That's enough of that. But anyway, let's go back into our discussion. The religion of science, you know, we've been talking about this guy, Frank Emanuel's book, The New World of Henry St. Simon. Get into a philosophical bent here. I sure like those coins, though, by the way. Numismatics, you look into that. The history. Is looking at these coins, it's like walking through the leaves of a history book, and you can learn a lot. You know, you also go up and take a look on roguegovernment.com, Lee Rogers' website, and get his DVD, The Power of the First. You know, another good study that our hosts and founders here have done on the history of money. Everything we can understand about it as we move forward into this digital time period. Just goes to our own service. We're going to have to be that replacement set. We need a better monetary system than the garbage that the Federal Reserve system has given us. And so, again, the more we know about it, the more informed our ideas and our concepts can be. But there's more to what the study of Henry St. Simon and the beginning of positivism is all about than you'll have ever heard on the radio. And I can assure you of that because I'm an absolute radio junkie. I don't know what they have on television, but I don't know of anybody that has ever gone in and delved into Henry St. Simon and Auguste Comte to the degree that I'm willing to do so. So we're going to Chapter 9, The Religion of Science. We've talked about the beginning of this scientism, this idea where science, really, a Newton becomes a new God. The unitary principle, gravity, you know, unitary principles in both social and science, scientific thought. The idea of systems, S-Y-S-T-E-M-M-E, that useless tale, system me, program me. But this is out of the book. The idea that the system would have to be a religious system had been fermenting in St. Simon's brain from the inception of his philosophic career. And this is the same place that Auguste Comte found himself ultimately, after he created his system of positive politics and his system of positive philosophy. He crowned it off by writing The Universal Religion of Humanity, much the same as his mentor, Henry St. Simon. We'll be back with more on that right after this.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Frankenfood working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras. Guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com. You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so if you've just tuned in to BVL here this morning, we had a guest in the first hour, Elias Loban. His website's TrustedCoins.com. It's in the archives now. You can go up and take a listen to it. Elias is one of the sponsors of the Oracle Broadcasting Network, OracleBroadcasting.com. I encourage you to go up and look at his website very carefully, read everything that's on there. And, file it away in your memory banks. Anyway, back to the discussion. You talk about the mind-forged manacles. Couldn't be any more perfect than this. Not only did they come up with a system of philosophy at this time, Henry St. Simon and the other positivists that were coming on that made up the St. Simonians, and then following that with Auguste Comte and the positivist schools that he built. But not only did they come up with a system of philosophy, but they add to that a system of polity or politics, a political structure, And then they throw in the, to make it the triumvirate, and they bring in the religion. You talk about pulling it all together. It was that very action that drove James or John Stuart Mill back to, away from Henry St. Simon and August Comte and back to England. And he started his whole concept of utilitarianism, began to write. He wrote, the first thing he wrote then was On Liberty. Once you can understand how powerful this technocratic system is, what techno-totalitarianism is, and positivism is, then we can start to understand what's happening in the churches today. The World Council of Churches and the United Nations bringing everyone together under one big hump, you know. Think about the, you know, Vicar of Christ on Earth, you know, the Pope of Rome, he's got a seat now over in the United Nations for all things. So they're all coming together, and I guess they're going to bow down and kiss the feet of the Pope under this new system. But there's nothing new about it. August Comte, we'll get to that later on when we study Comte. August Comte and his Universal Religion of Humanity closes it all out by saying in the end it'll look much like Catholicism. Catholicism. It's an ideal system of control, command and control. Let's continue back again to the religion of science, Henry St. Simon. The idea that the system would have to be a religious system had been fermenting in St. Simon's brain from the inception of his philosophical career. And again, that career goes all the way back to the founding of this country. The War of Independence. His first published lecture in brochure in 1802 had proclaimed the founding of the religion of Newton. And we talked about that, his work on the encyclopedia, etc. The new Christianity, it's a nouveau Christianisme, launched a movement of religious reformation throughout the world. I bet you didn't know that. According to St. Simonian tradition, as a youth, Saint-Simon had a violent quarrel with his father over receiving the sacraments, and there is scant evidence that he was ever a practicing Catholic for long. After 1789, remember also, at this time period, that Catholicism wasn't an option. It was convert or die, baby. You get a chance to sit on the steel pyramid with your anus on the point. Yeah. Look into the Inquisition, the Grand Inquisitions, you know, Jesuits, and think about the Albigensians and the Waldensians and the Vaudois and others. We've talked about that in the past on the broadcast. It's in the archives. But according to the St. Simonian tradition, as a youth, St. Simon had a violent quarrel with his father over receiving the sacraments. It's hard to say why or what that quarrel was about. And there's scant evidence he was ever a practicing Catholic for long. After 1789, the speeches he delivered on solemn national holidays to the villagers of his native province bristled with diatribes against the usurpations of priests who, he thought, should be considered born enemies of the revolution. In the conduct of life of the directorate, Bon Vivant, there was no place for traditional religious devotion. We can see much of that happening today as people begin to access the internet and question some of these belief systems that have been inculcated since your birth, in your life, in your family, tongues, your tribes, your creeds, and your traditions. No place for traditional religious devotion. Nonetheless, Saint-Simon was always acutely sensitive to the social implications of the multifarious religious movements which swept through France during his lifetime, even though he himself not touched by the emotions they inspired. So we read everything we can get our hands on, don't we? We listen to anybody that we can, but maybe we need to put up certain firewalls to guard against accepting beliefs. Belief systems is a lie in every belief. B-E-L-I-E-F. 18th century attitudes underlie all the religions of St. Simon, for this is the world in which he was formed as a boy and a man, and this is the way it works. St. Simon, later August Comte. August Comte styled the history of mankind in three stages. The first is the ruled by priests and priest kings. In this stage, he thought of man as being the young boy, highly susceptible, easily led to believe in the supernatural and the profound. easily led. Not enough ammo in his belt to understand, you know, all of the ins and the outs, the intricacies. You know, you ask your mama, your daddy, you know, how come the sun is there? How come the moon is there? You know, why does the wind blow? You drive your parents nuts. Why is it snowing? What is rain? Why do the dogs bark? So on and so forth. And you get these answers as a youth, and you accept them, and you live by them. And then August Comte said, then we go into the second stage of human development. That's the metaphysical, and that's where we start to get in and root around, you know. You start asking questions. You go into the trivium and the quadrivium, and you start looking at the motion of the celestial bodies. And you start questioning these ideas, you know, that God spoke and everything into existence that came. And those sorts of things in the big flood. And then you move, you transition from that metaphysical stage of life into that positive, the positive stage of life. And it becomes like the show me stage, you know. I'm skeptical. I'm a skeptic. Show me. Don't tell me what you think. Show me. Show me your facts. Show me the law and show me your evidence. All right? I don't know why I wound up in Missouri, but it just seems to be right. A show me showdown 24/7, 365. Kind of skeptical guy. I wouldn't exactly demand a bacteria count on the milk of human kindness, but I'm certainly close. Anyhow. Continuing there, English master John Locke, while rebelling against the institutions and practices of existing revealed religions, they could not convince or conceive of a society enduring without some religious belief. All right, let me back up and start that one over again. 18th century attitudes underlie all the religions of St. Simon, for this is the world in which he was formed as a boy and a man. Though the philosophes had undermined the power of the Catholic Church, there were few outright atheists among them. Everybody believes. I mean, you know, almost takes more faith to believe in nothing than it does to believe in something. Almost anyone that could, you know, connected with the natural world, if you will, at all, understands that this has got to be created, mathematics alone, probability alone, denies this idea, the specious idea of Darwinian evolution, you know, that it just came out of no place. Ludicrous. Anyway, rebelling against the institutions and practices of existing revealed religions. Now, this is the time of establishment and anti-establishment and the disestablishment and the anti-disestablishmentarianisms. Quite a confused time period. We'll be right back.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
So in the past, I've given you this little ditty that I came up with a long time ago that on October the 31st of 1517, on the day that Martin Luther, great theologian and jurisprude, professor, if you will, nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church, essentially crucified Christ afresh, and we stepped across the threshold from the old world order into the new world order. And as the Enlightenment and the Age of Reason continued and developed more and more adherents, there was greater and greater confusion among the people. But lots of good thinking came out of that period, and we still enjoy the benefits of it today. But wherever there is a blessing, altogether too often, there's a cursing in there too. But again, now rebelling against the institutions and the practices of the existing revealed religions. I mean, no matter where you go, even in law, the impacts can be felt. It's all traced back to these revealed religions. Whether they were revealed by man to man or whether they were revealed in some other way, there are profound thoughts that come into a thinker's life. Even a stinking thinker has a good one from time to time. But their English master, John Locke, had refused toleration to atheists. Their oaths and covenants would have been meaningless. The idea of God was retained because as Hume... All right, now we're talking about John Locke. We've shared with him right out of his works before. Hume here, the idea of God was retained because as Hume understood so well, men know no other way of naming the unifying principle of the natural and moral order. I mean, it's not sufficient to just say, oh, that's the brotherhood of darkness. And could we please be more specific, is my retort. All right? So when you're thinking about the, you know, this overall unifying principle, one of the things that I've advanced, my own research, from nothing, something. And beyond that, it wasn't given for us to know the origins. But from no thing, something. If there was anything prior, then it indicates a prior creation. And we have to dig a little deeper. We're not at the bottom of the rabbit hole yet. But from no thing, something. And beyond that, I don't know. With the momentary triumph of anti-clericalism, you know, even in Europe, England as well, Scotland, Ireland, the lands that had been taken up by the priests, by the churches, were being divested. You know, they were being stripped of their landholdings. The nobility, likewise, being stripped of their landholdings, threw a lot of these priests out onto the streets, so to speak, on their ear. You know, maybe they would go on a pilgrimage and find something useful to do someplace else or repair to a monastery in the East, but nevertheless, they were getting dispossessed. People were a little bit sick off and tired of the jackboot of the church for all those years on their necks. With the momentary triumph of anti-clericalism, again, the idea of established religion, the Catholic Church, Roman Catholicism, the established church, and then the anti-establishment, those that wanted to break that down, pull that wall down, the iconoclasts and others, people wanted to pull that down. And so you had the establishmentarians, and you had the anti-establishmentarians, and then you had the anti-establishmentarians, the Jesuits, put it plainly. And it continues with the momentary, and then you have also the Illuminati cropping up, right? The Jesuits and the Illuminati, the Illumined Ones, Freemasonry, very much so Jesuitical in their origin. With the momentary triumph of anti-clericalism in the early stages of the Revolution and the sudden institutional breakdown of the Catholic Church, men were confronted with a religious vacuum, and religion and politics and monetary systems abhor a vacuum. If we're not going to be that replacement set, if we're not going to elevate ourselves to that level, then we'll just have to take whatever is handed to us. And boy, they've got it all in the pipeline. The first impact of this novel condition shocked the revolutionaries into a realization that the abhorrent society of atheists might become a fact. An abhorrent society of atheists, you know, them Zionists, they don't believe in a damn thing. They sure don't. Theodore Herzl, founder of it, he was an avowed atheist, didn't believe in a damn thing. You can see how that goes. The question asked, could there be a godless society? Well, I'd say there certainly is a godless society. You know, what is the percentage today of these Zionist Israel apologists that are in our Congress? You know, the solutions which sprang up overnight were as numerous as the mystery cult sweeping the Mediterranean basin in the first centuries of the Christian era. The mystery cults, all the mysteries. Where Streamen and other people have reported on that, on the Oracle for years. Into all the mystery religions. In a decade of profusion, a profusion of state-sponsored religions was spawned. Remember, our founders had the presence of mind to not set up an established religion on our shores. But that wasn't the case in Europe. State-spawned religions. A reformed Catholicism administered by a juring clergy, a worship of reason, you know, enter Thomas Paine, a cult of the supreme being, funny, you find that language in our declaration, in our constitution, the supreme being, writings of Benjamin Franklin and others. The supreme being. It's an interesting thought. A cult decadence, a weed patch of theophilanthropic cults. Except for a denatured official Catholicism, they all had a crucial element in common. They represented in one form or another a deflection of love from the God of the Christians to mankind, and a transfer of interest from the future of the immortal soul to man's destiny on earth. What are you going to be when you grow up, Johnny? Don't know. What, was that Men at Work? Is that the name of this? Yeah, I think that was. What are you going to be when you grow up, Johnny? You can play football this year, Johnny? What kind of a boy are you, Johnny? Their ceremonials were an admixture of Masonic ritual and Roman civic religious performances with a residue of Orthodox Catholic practice. What a mess. What a mess. The fervid patriotism of the revolutionaries assumed quasi-religious garb as the great popular celebrations organized by the state for the first time in modern history, this rise of statism. The state emerging. You know, we the people of the state, we're the people. And the people, governments are instituted among men, secure the blessing of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we are the state, the flesh and blood man that bleeds on the ground. Pick up a clod of dirt and hold it in your hands. Exchange a hide of soil for some medium of exchange, and you too can engage in the sale of property. But the fervid patriotism of revolutionaries assumed quasi-religious garb as the great popular celebrations organized by the state for the first time in modern history imitated the majesty of religious observance. And so we have the great election, you know, of Barry the Usurper, and they filled up this huge area with all of his people, you know, clapping and things like that. Big celebrations. The man, St. Simon, knew immediately leaders of the revolutionary cults which in turn enjoyed governmental sanction for a brief moment as substitutes for the old religion, and he could not escape their influence. So he knew these guys personally, a lot of them. While most of these synthetic religions tended to be rationalistic in tenor, there was another trend in religious life of France which derived directly from the mystics of the pre-revolutionary decades. Now we go back to Venice. Take a look at that. You go back to Gesù, the Church of Gesù. Back and study Savonarola and all the people that we've spoken of there in the past. And then just run it right back to the Near East.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio. TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and many environments where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Hey, how's that Franken food working out for you? You like it? Why don't you quit eating it and start growing your own high-quality, low-cost food? Gardening in a failed economy will teach you the methods that you need to grow food just about anywhere, even on concrete. Gardening in a failed economy will teach you to grow high-quality, low-cost food in just about any location, just about anywhere in the world. Download a copy of Gardening in a Failed Economy from distributedliving.net.
Across the sands of time, from the lands of Abraham to the lands of Julius Caesar, the metals of the earth were forged into the coin of the realm. Now you can own a piece of history with affordable ancient coins from the Greek, Biblical, Roman, and Byzantine eras, guaranteed authentic by Janus Numismatics. Transport yourself to the distant past at TrustedCoins.com. That's TrustedCoins.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So we're diving into the origins of this religion of science laid out here by Henry St. Simon so many years ago, 1812 in that time period and forward, 1802, 1812, and ahead of that. Well, most of these synthetic religions, he says here, tended to be rationalistic in tenor. There was another trend in the religious life of France which derived directly from the mystics of the pre-revolutionary decades. And you get into Madame de Staël and the others there. Particularly from the Illuminati. Wow. St. Simon lived in many different social worlds during the revolutionary era. He learned the aphoristic language of the mystics, and on occasion he adorned his religious doctrine with apocalyptic visions written in their affected style. A lot of these apocalypse now people out there, apocalypse now folk out there. All right? But this is typical of his day. As I've stated before, the French Revolution didn't go at all well for France. The blood was running in the streets up to the horse's bridle, and the guillotine was snapping in the background. Tremendous loss of life. The Castile, or the Bastille, the storming of the Bastille forward. The idea of a society. Now let's go in here. After the turn of the century, the emigre thinkers, who are these people? The emigres. Well, of course, we have Jacques Maritain. Let's see if I can get some of them. Leo Strauss, Anna, what's her name? Oh, well, I'll have to think of them. Anyway, these were some of the thinkers that were swept out of Europe in the roll-up between World War I and World War II, and brought to America to teach Europe to Americans and America to Americans. How benevolent. But at this time, the emigres were people who were getting the hell out of Dodge because it was no longer cool to be noble. It was no longer cool to have any kind of a high and mighty birthright. It was no longer cool to be a religionist, and no longer cool to be a priest or a monk, a bishop. They had to get shed of that, and they had to get out. And they did. But again, after the turn of the century, the emigre thinkers made a valiant attempt to resurrect and reinvigorate the old Catholic faith of France by an appeal to sentiment. People are very reluctant to give up their beliefs and their belief systems, just as difficult to convert a Catholic, perhaps, to Mormonism, as it is to get a Republican or a Democrat to give up the idea of the established two-party political system that they've been living under all their lives. In this counter-revolutionary crusade, the theocratic school was influenced by a romantic spirit, which had drawn from diverse sources, and the writings in turn swelled the stream of a romantic religious revival of Catholicism. Of course, here, the American Education Society, one of the oldest associations in this country, I think it goes dates to the same time period, 1812. And this is where the evangelical Protestants were coming on the scene in America. They were providing funds for individuals, men mostly, to go into the seminary and then on into college. Stumbled upon that last night. I was looking up something else and came into that. But there's a lot to know about history. None can know it all. The idea of a society bereft of religious sanction was at first terrifying to men at the turn of the century, as it had been to the pre-revolutionary philosophes. Madame de Staël, calling for a new religion to fill the spiritual void, and the Counts de Bonald and Joseph de Maistre, demanding a strengthened papal Catholicism cleansed of 18th century rationalism, were expressing their common dread of a godless world. Much the same as today, you know, the Council of National Policy. They want us to set aside the Age of Reason. They want us to fear the writings of Plato and Socrates and Aristotle and Voltaire and Rousseau, and not to learn those things if they could get their way, you know. Hard to say what Jerry Falwell and Tim LaHaye and Pastor Hagee embrace in their own right, but it's hard to say. But they certainly want to ban books again. We want to go back to the prohibition of books, book burning. For a quarter of a century, Saint-Simon lived with the problem of finding a new absolute to replace the Catholic monotheism, which is condemned as outmoded. Of course, it was Auguste Comte said, everything is relative. You know, it's the idea of relativity, Einstein's theory of relativity, right? Everything is relative. There are no absolutes. When in 1808, St. Simon used the phrase unite, systematique, the systematic unity of systems, to define his theory, He admitted that he and the contemporary traditionalists of the Catholic revival were aiming at the same goal. While he could not accept the Catholic thinkers' exaltation unfortunately, I'm not that good with French, which in his private language meant revealed religion, he recognized that he and they were both inspired by a passion for unity expressed in a religious form. And again, I point you to Heraclitus, the unity. It's like that Mobius strip. Anybody remember the infinity sign, figure eight, turned on its side, right? We find ourselves at a particular point on this strip. We think we're moving forward in linear time, only sadly later to discover the time just wraps back around on itself. And there is nothing linear. Einstein thought if you just shot a beam of light out into space, you know, the blinker would just go out there at this incredible rate of speed, and boy, just straight as an arrow, and doesn't it at close range with a laser pointer on your handgun or rifle? Sure it does. Unfortunately, it begins to arc. And if you shoot those laser beams out into space, when they go by the sun, they're bent in, wrap around that sun. The sun's gravitational pull pulls the light. So we start to understand even more about the incredible, bountiful majesty of creation. Saint Simon's own solution to this religious dilemma of the age was syncretic. What is syncretism? Syncretism is the idea that you just blend a little of this and a little bit of that. It's really adultery. It's adulterating one thing with another, like your bloodline or a glass of wine when you add water or vinegar to it. Syncretism. You take a little bit of this religion, a little bit of that religion, and you have a drum circle mixed in with the menorah, and you've got your yarmulke, and you've got the crucifix, and you've got the sacraments, and what a mess. Babylonish, indeed. It was a combination of ideas derived from two thinkers who were almost 300 years apart, the Elizabethan Francis Bacon and the contemporary ideologue François Dupuy. Bacon's influence, the more remote, was evident in the mechanics of the new religion rather than in its spirit. The sacerdoci of scientists on New Atlantis, Francis Bacon, was reincarnated in the scientific priesthood of the religion of Newton. The ritual prescribed in the letters of the inhabitants of Geneva bore more than passing resemblance to the practices of the scientists in Solomon's house in Bacon's Utopia. To François Dupuy, I think it is pronounced, whose voluminous work, The Origins of the Cults of the Universal Religion, first published in 1795. Again, if I had a French translator handy, I could just whoop that out for you, and you could look it up on the internet. Enjoyed widespread, just type it in, François, D-U-P-U-I-S, François, D-U-P-U-I-S, religion, universal religion. Type that into your search field, then add 1795. Should probably pop right up for you. Enjoyed widespread reputation among the ideologues and was abstracted and commented upon by no less a figure than Destut de Tracy, and I don't know who that person is. St. Simon owed a more direct debt his conception of religion as a generalized expression of the state of science at a given epoch of human development. And again, we'll find all of this when we review the writings of August Comte, which we shall in this series. I'm going to stick on this for a while. Very interesting material, because I think that this is really the hub. This is the grain. This is the kernel of where we are at today. We're seeing the downside and the upside of these thoughts and thinkers as they have gone to the fullness, if you will, of their development as we move further into and fully embrace the positive stage of human development, the last and final stage, and hopefully it won't be the fatal stage of human development. Man in his positive stage. You have the priesthood, you have the metaphysical, and you have the positive, the three stages of human development. We'll be right back.
know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
So moving forward again a little bit further into this study, just kind of working it right out of this rather unusual book that really lays it out well. This writer, this man, Francis E. Manuel, this book, I don't know, cannot really honestly recall precisely how I landed it. Copyright 1963 by the University of Notre Dame Press. And I've got the first edition here in front of me, open on the table in paperback. But again, the pre-revolutionary philosophers regarded the sacred writings as a compendium of nonsense, or at best, the works of the imagination. We hear that voice today often, over and over again, you know. There's so much of the Bible, if you will, the Tanakh, and the Gospels, and the Epistles, so much of it, you know, questionable. And I know some people think that it's, you know, it's in claim and will stand by that it's the revealed word of God and it's inerrant and all of that other stuff. But, you know, if you study it really carefully, line upon line, precept upon precept, you too might come up with more questions than answers. Dupuis saw the phenomenon of religion too widespread throughout the world in the midst of the various religions too patently similar to be mere universal delirium. They had to have a rationale. For all phenomena in nature, including myths, were founded on reason. Quote, the moral world, like the physical world, has fixed laws whose reign can be recognized even in the greatest aberrations. And so we can think of it from the standpoint of the laws of nature and nature's God. The myths of all religions were, he concluded, merely expressions of a physical science, the ancient, hieratic knowledge of astronomy and physics preserved by priestly bodies. Right? The quadrivium. The trivium. Christianity was the most difficult religion to integrate into his system. While the origins of the Oriental and North European pagan cults were lost in the dim past and hence amenable to the broadest of conjecture, Christianity had been born in historic times when documents were available. Yet here, too, Dupuy maintained that, like the cults it overthrew, Christianity was in its essence a formulation in allegorical terms of truths of astronomy and physics. In many ways, his theory leveled a more devastating attack on traditional Christianity than had the philosophers. And so instead of just saying, oh, this is a bunch of bull, and it's all junk and rubbish, throw it out, I like to stick with what Bill Cooper used to teach on his broadcast, read everything. You know, read anything, listen to anyone, believe nothing until you can verify or prove it in your own research. Makes better sense to me. If I want to know about the Muslimmen in Islam, the Muslims, Mike Piper would say, I'm going to turn to their writings, find out a little bit about it. Want to know something about the Buddhists? Plenty have been written there. The Janus, same process. Confucius, same deal. Go to the books, read the writings in the best translations that you can find, the greatest antiquity you can get your hands on. We shall destroy with one and the same blow the errors. This is Dupuy, I guess, writing. We shall destroy with one and the same blow the errors of the people and those of the new philosophers, and we shall strip Christ of his two natures at the same time. The people who made of him at once a God and a man, the philosopher today makes of him nothing more than a man. As for us, we shall not make of him a God at all, still less a man than a God. For the Son is further from human nature, and that's the S-U-N, than it is from the divine nature. But notice they do use, he does use, the Son, and it's capitalized. Christ will be for us what Hercules, Osiris, Adonis, and Bacchus were. He will share in common with them the worship which all peoples of all countries and all ages have rendered to a universal nature and to its principal agents. And if he seems to assume a mortal body like the heroes of the ancient poems, this will be only the fiction of a legend. Close quote. Although nobody takes seriously the Dupuy work, with its pretentious scholarly apparatus, it helps to make St. Simon's Religion of Newton and his later redefinitions of Christianity comprehensible. The religions of antiquity, Christianity among them, were, for Dupuy, primarily solar religions. Curious, huh? Solar religions. Because the sun then appeared to be the principal life-giving agent in the world. Heard a little bit of that here on Oracle over the weekend. Rather specious discussion, but nevertheless, everybody's entitled to their opinions. We're all born with more than one. They're like elbows, easily bent to suit whatever purpose is at hand. But since Newton had revealed a new scientific principle, which explained all phenomena both in the heavens and on Earth, since gravity was the one cause of all movement throughout the universe, what more fitting than for St. Simon to transform gravity into the central principle of a new religion, and hence the religion of Newton. Even as the sun once had been made the key figure in the older cults, religion was a universal and an eternal manifestation. People just moved to it. We almost seemed to need it. For whatever reason, this strong belief, this idea of who are we? Who? Who am I? Who am I to think? Who am I to think that? Who am I to think that I can? Who am I to think that I can change? Who am I to think that I can change the world? Who am I? And even more importantly, whose am I? I think two very important philosophic questions we should consider. But under Dupuy's guidance, St. Simon defined his religion as that ideal expression of the human spirit, which afforded the optimum formal order for contemporaneous scientific knowledge. Again, we're moving into this technocratic age. technocracies, techno-totalitarianism, as I coined the other day. Instead of viewing religion as locked in mortal combat with the new science, he came to regard religion as its innermost essence, as a synthesis and distillation into a unity of the whole body of scientific thought. You can imagine, you know, for those poor souls that work for Monsanto or Syngenta or any of the other seed companies, they're in there in the DNA and they're juggling things around, coming up with their Roundup Ready corn and things like that. And they're touching God's hem. Little G Godmen with their laboratory coats, altering the genetic structure of creation, unknowing what's going to be the outcome of releasing such a thing on the planet, but convinced, because they're in the academia and they were steeped in it, that it's a good thing. Progress is good. Profit, good. Loss, bad. Without any thought of what the downside potential might be of it. Anyway, what he demanded of the institutional leaders of the contemporary religion was that they cease to conceive of it as a set of fixed and changeless dogmas and regard it instead as a spiritual form evolving throughout the ages. Away with the fixed and the permanent. Let all things be in a state of transition, everything being relative. There are no absolutes. Think not of your constitutions and your laws and in fixed terminology. Why, we can change the word. After all of the words that we use are mere symbols inside of a language game. According to the obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positivist syntactician, words are simply symbols, mere symbols. It's the bread. It's the blood. It's the sacrament. Yadi wadi automata. Onomatopoeia. And the rest of that. It ceases to conceive any sets of fixed or changeless dogma. So everything's in a state of flux. In 1813, he put Chancellor Bacon's mind into Chancellor Bacon's mind his own ideas on the relations between science and the Christian religion. You can understand why his books were banned, put on the ban list by the church. Religion was not and could not be in the eyes of a man with as good a head as Bacon's anything but the general theory of science. Now the sole purpose of a theory is to relate facts one to another. 1,500 years had passed since this theory, Christianity, had been organized. It was not astonishing that it should find itself inadequate to dispose in its best arrangement the knowledge which mankind possessed 1,500 years later, and it was impossible for it to relate facts which had been discovered only after its establishment. So insofar as the books and the writings and all that were pertinent in their day, to adopt the mindset of what possible value could they be today. Well, I leave that for your consideration. I'll be back again tomorrow. We'll continue the study. And until the next time, thanks for listening and good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
At HempUSA.org, we offer chemical-free products to people around the world, detoxifying, self-healing, while rebuilding the immune system. We urge our listeners to please consider our largest-selling product, Microplant Powder. Our microplant powder is rich in silica and probiotics to help rebuild the immune system and to create a healthy stomach flora. Microplant powder is excellent for daily intake and is perfect to add to your storage shelter. We urge our listeners to please visit us at hempusa.org. And remember, all of our products are chemical-free and healthy to eat. We constantly strive to give you the best service, highest quality, and rapid shipping anywhere. And we offer free shipping on orders over $95 in the U.S. Please visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available, and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.